I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, newspapers around the country are slimming down and even closing up. But one new newspaper is about to launch, the Native Sun News, a weekly publication about Native American issues. We'll hear from the founder, veteran journalist Tim Gallego. It's our Wisdom Watch conversation, and it's in just a few minutes. But first, a closer look at a vital issue in higher education, graduation rates. Historically, Black colleges and universities, or HBCUs, were founded to make higher education available to Black students who were largely denied access to most colleges and universities around the country or subjected to strict quotas. African Americans have more options now. Nevertheless, HBCUs still appeal to many Black students, and one reason is that they advertise a more supportive academic and social environment, which theoretically should lead to greater academic success. But a new report suggests that that might not be so. An Associated Press analysis of the government data on the 83 federally designated four-year HBCUs found an average graduation rate of just 37%. That's 4 percentage points lower than the national average for Black undergrads and substantially below the national average of 56.4% for all undergraduates. To talk more about the report, I'm joined by the presidents of two HBCUs. Robert Franklin is the president of Morehouse College in Atlanta. Morehouse is the country's largest private liberal arts college for men. Founded in 1867, its graduates include Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and filmmaker Spike Lee. And Walter Kimbrough is president of Philander Smith College in Little Rock, Arkansas. Philander Smith was founded in 1877, the first school of higher education for former enslaved Americans west of the Mississippi. President Kimbrough is one of the youngest college presidents in the country. Welcome, presidents, both. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Now, it has to be said that some HBCUs like Morehouse, Spelman, and Howard meet or exceed national averages for white or Black students. And having said that, though, many people are surprised by these numbers. And I'd like to ask each of you, President Franklin, first, are you surprised by these numbers?
I'm not surprised, given that the financial environment in which college students are struggling to remain in school and persist toward graduation is very severe, and it's having an impact even on students from very well-off families. And so this is a challenge to many of our students, the economic challenge.
But these numbers precede the current recession, President Franklin, it has to be said. The
yes,
data is
that's
from
true.
A period before this recession.
That's right.
Began.
But I think the challenge of families who are first time in college has the financial challenge. It's been a persistent one for some time. And I think there are institutional challenges about which we have to be honest, that institutions have to pay greater attention to institutional supports in place to ensure that students can graduate. I think we've done a great job at that at Morehouse and places like Spelman and Howard, many other schools, certainly my colleague's institution. But many other schools, I think, have been in cruise control, and this is a wake-up call to all of us.
President Kimbrough, are you surprised? And what do
you
think is driving these numbers?
I'm not surprised at all. I think part of the challenge is that we haven't shifted the paradigm. Historically, and as you mentioned in the opening, that historically Black colleges and universities focused a lot on access, providing an opportunity for people who might not have an opportunity to attend college. But I think, as President Franklin said, it has to be a wake-up to say we need to change and shift the paradigm to not talk so much about access, but about completion and graduation rates.
And President Kimbrough, the graduation rate at Philander Smith is, for all students, 28%. Do I have
28%. You know, I've been here.
You can't be proud of that.
No, I've been here 4.5 years, and it was in the teens when I got here.
Mm.
So we've increased the graduation rate by almost 75% in 4 years and our retention rate by a third. So, I mean, we have to start somewhere, and we're making progress. But once again, I think the leadership has to come from the president to insist that this is going to be the focus, and it's not about seducing ourselves to say we've done a good job because they've gotten in. Because if they get in and they take out massive loans and they leave school without a degree, we may have done them more harm than good.
Why do you say that?
Because then they leave without a degree, and they have these loans that they have to pay back.
And a sense of failure, presumably.
Well, I mean, maybe that sense of failure as well, but you might be better off if you leave high school and you get a job and you work and do well versus go to college for a year or two and you leave with $20,000 worth of loans.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about graduation rates at historically Black colleges and universities. New data suggests that those rates are lower than many people would have expected. And we're speaking with Walter Kimbrough, president of Philander Smith College in Arkansas, and Robert Franklin, president of Morehouse College in Atlanta. President Franklin, Morehouse, as we said, has an enviable graduation rate, but if you're still graduating 60% of the students, which even if that exceeds the national average, that still means 40% are not, or at least they're not graduating in the six-year time frame that many people say is kind of least acceptable for a four-year institution. When you lose students, what do they say?
Well, first of all, Morehouse is very proud of the track record that we have developed for admitting, for encouraging and supporting the persistence of students, and generating a consistently high graduation rate. But like Dr. Kimbrough, I arrived with a sense of impatience with the status quo and insisted that 60% is still not good enough. And so how do we improve that? There are certain factors that are clearly important, and I think this is applicable to institutions around the country. The thing that's worked at Morehouse best is, number one, we project high expectations. We say that if you are admitted to this college, you will succeed. Secondly, support. What kind of supports are in place? There have to be mentors, people from the community who celebrate your achievements and who worry when you're not doing well. Third, obviously, focusing on holistic development. In addition to academic excellence, we focus on character excellence as well as good study habits and personal development. And then finally, we try to inspire students to be leaders and committed to community service. That gives them a sense of, I have a purpose, I have a reason for being here at Morehouse, the community's waiting on me, and so I have to do well while I'm here.
But one of the things I'm intrigued by is, even though a number of institutions are struggling with both young black men and young black women, on average, have higher graduation rates. And you have to presume that they come from some of the same families that the young men do. So what's the difference? I know, for example, in my father's generation, he dropped out of school to help support his younger brother and sister. That was considered the right thing to do back at that time. Is that still the case? Or is it just that the young men feel that they can earn a decent living without the degree? What is it that is opening up this gap? President Kimbrough?
I think there are a number of issues. I worked on a study for a chapter in a book about African-American men in college where we did some interviews with men at HBCUs, and some of it is not really taking advantage of the support networks that are available on campus. There still is this image that I'm a man and I can figure this out on my own. And so you will find that the men won't use the tutorial services. They won't reach out and work with their mentor. So that becomes one of those barriers. And I think we're seeing it all across higher education. For a lot of the men at HBCUs, it's harder for them to make the connections that President Franklin talked about with the mentors, the faculty, and the staff, because they're coming, and just like the women, from families that where the man isn't involved, but it's a different level of intimidation that some of the guys are telling me, that I'm not used to being around a man who wears a suit and tie every day. And so I'm not, you know, I don't know how to engage him in conversation and develop relationships with him, whereas the women are more comfortable doing that. And then some of it is still just, you know, popular culture. And, you know, in our society today, we don't celebrate men who do well academically.
President Franklin?
I think we have to change the cultural script. I think local churches and community groups ought to host annual celebrations of graduation and all the graduates. And the tallest trophies, this is what they did in my church, St. Paul Church on the south side of Chicago, the tallest trophies were for the Dean's List students, the students with the highest academic achievements. And then the athletes, they received ordinary trophies. The other thing, we have to figure out a way, as we say at Morehouse, to make being smart cool again. We want that to be the cool, sexy thing to be, to be on the dean's list, to study physics and chemistry, and to do just what our students are doing quite well at Morehouse, is excelling and competing and inspiring their peers to achieve the highest academics.
Do you think that President Obama, in part, helps address this cultural issue that you both discussed, this idea of being smart can be cool and sexy?
Oh, absolutely.
Too? Does that help?
Two days after the election, we held an open mic in our chapel that all students are required to attend at Morehouse. And there they were, and a couple thousand guys sitting there. And I said, okay, what does this election mean to you? And the two words that rang most consistently from 30 or 40 different guys who said, they said, no excuses. We have no excuses now. No excuse. And then one of them turned around and looked at his peers and said, no excuses for coming to class late. No excuses for not having the assignments prepared. So they're using the Obama phenomena and achievement as a way of inspiring excellence and holding up one another accountable.
And finally, I did want to ask, though, are there concrete other tools that might be helpful to reverse this pattern? I hear what each of you is saying about cultural patterns of appreciation that need to be addressed and so forth. But are there other things from a policy perspective, from educational perspective, institutional perspectives that you think would be helpful? And President Franklin, I'm going to start with you because I'm going to give President Kimbrough the last word.
I would say that the single most important policy shift would be to invest more resources in higher education for our students. In fact, we lose 100, 150 students every year for financial reasons. These are guys who are smart enough to be at Morehouse. They work hard, they do well, but as you said earlier, many of them do have to drop out or stop out to support families. So we have to invest and ensure that the public dollars are there to keep these guys moving through.
And President Kimbrough, final thought from you?
I would say it starts with presidential leadership. I think that we have to put this on the radar to make this important for our campus. In President Franklin's book, he wasn't going to publicize his book, but I would because I think it's fantastic. He talks about the president as his chief ethical officer. I think that's what we have to do. We have to set the tone. And I think more presidents have to say, how am I going to be meaningfully engaged with the young people? Because if you do that, even in a short amount of time, as I've seen on my campus, you can see these rates go up dramatically. Mm-hmm. And I think it starts with presidential leadership.
Walter Kimbrough is president of Philander Smith College in Little Rock, Arkansas. He joined us from Little Rock. Robert Franklin is president of Morehouse College in Atlanta. He's author of Crisis in the Village, Restoring Hope to African American Communities, among other works. He was kind enough to join us from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta. I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.